has joined. Has joined. Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I don't recognize your voice. Please excuse me.
My name is Lisette.
Is it Lisette?
I'm new.
No, you're actually not, but that's okay.
That could be noted. Well, I hear you.
I eventually am looking forward to our call today later.
Yes, sir. When would that be convenient for you?
Whatever's convenient for you. I'm here. You know, I go to bed late, I get up early, and then I sleep sometimes in the afternoon, so it doesn't matter to me.
All right, if it's okay with you, then maybe, 20 minutes or 30 minutes after we finish this call, if that's okay?
That's fine. That's fine.
Perfect, then. Thank you. I look forward to it as well. Thank you.
And just so you know, I don't like to teach unless there's two people on the call, so we're waiting for another person right now.
Okay. Malka, I think I heard a lady named Malka's here already, too.
Malka and Hanna is here. Yeah, Hanna and Malka.
Okay, you guys are hiding.
Oh, I was sorry. You
tell me. I'm an open book. I don't know how I could hide.
The same way I do sometimes. No, I never hide. So today's class normally would be advanced reincarnation, but I'm going to continue with the Ari because we take advantage of his energy today being his Hilulah. And since we finished the handout we were reading this afternoon, go to the next link on the ARI landing page. And I'll walk you through it slowly, Lizbeth. On the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, so at the top link it says Revealed Wisdom in the red bar. When that opens up, you scroll down about a half an inch, and you'll see a matrix, green and white lines. And you go to row 14, the second column from the left, and that will open up the landing page.
Mariangela.
For the ARI.
Has joined.
Good afternoon, Brandy.
Good afternoon.
when the RE landing page opens up, let's scroll down. I'm sorry, I'm looking for the right location to figure out which is the link. So it's part two. The title is Various Aspects to the Teachings of the Ari. Rabbi Isaac Luria, part two. And that will be the class that we will start with. And the title of the section is Get Up, Lose Bones. So I know Malka's going to enjoy this. No comment. And we'll start with the L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kud Shabri Hu Ishkid Bebit Hilu Urhimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urhimu Leachta L'Shem Yud He Bavav He Be'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Latzok Torah Mitzvah V'Hino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadenu Karenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadenu Karenehu. The resurrection of the dead testifies that the soul and body were never totally apart in the beginning. Using the word Bereshit, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Just as heaven and earth were first in terms of the creation, so also are the soul and body first in terms of man. And I am adding, does anyone think that heaven and earth were created together or at the same moment? This question needs to be clarified due to what is written above. Humankind itself has an aspect of heaven and an aspect of earth. This is slightly different than what we said above. Let's see the anatomy of the creation, and what I'm referring to is what we read earlier today. For his soul is the spiritual component of his makeup, which parallels the heavens, and his body is the physical that parallels the earth. Concerning these two, the first verse in the Torah says, Bereshit, meaning there are two, the numerical value of the letter Bet. Things that are considered first or beginnings, in Hebrew the word is Reshit. For just as heaven and earth were first in terms of the creation, so also are the soul and body first in terms of man. And you'll notice that it seems to be repeating the same subject, but it really isn't, because when people reach a level of righteousness like the Ari or Rabbi Shimon, or obviously Hashem who created us, they understand the way our brains think, the way our brains work. And they understand we need to have things repeated in order to make the connection and reaffirm the connection and keep the memory systems working properly. And this is why the verse contains seven words, paralleling the 70 years of a normal lifespan. This is as the verse says, the years of our lives number 70, and if we are strong, 80. But the honor we attain in our short lives is wearisome and futile, for the end cuts us off swiftly, and everything we have done flies away. The end of bodily existence is thus alluded to in the next verse. In the earth, the body was formless and void, with darkness on the face of the depths. But the Spirit of God still hovers over the waters. Tohu indicates a state of amazement and disbelief. I am addict. Remember, the earlier translation of tohu is void or nothingness. Also remember above that tohu is a higher aspect of the two aspects of Keter, as we discussed earlier. This is the meaning of the continuation of the verse, with darkness on the face of the depths. In Hebrew, the word is tehom. The word tehom, meaning depths, contains the same letters as hamavet, meaning death. Tehom is spelled tav, hey, vav, mem. And hamavet is hey, mem, vav, tav. Exactly the same letters, exactly the same gematria, but in different orders. This indicates that a person who dies resembles one who sits in the dark, waiting for the light to shine. And this is exactly what will happen, for the continuation of the verse states that the Spirit of God still hovers over the waters. This Spirit of God is none other than the soul that never abandons the body. For while the body was alive, the soul dwelled within it and gave it life. If at the moment of death it would depart completely, truly there would be no hope. All the bones, including the loose bone, would rot and decompose entirely. We are therefore informed that this is not the case. On the contrary, the Spirit of God, which is the soul, hovers over the bones. Why then does it say that the soul hovers over the waters? The waters here refers to the Torah that a person learned. In the spirit of that Torah, the soul continues to hover over the body. Just as water leaves the high mountains and descends to the lowest valleys, so too does the Torah. Concerning the fact that water symbolizes Torah, this is exactly what the sages say on the verse. Oh, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. Why is the Torah likened to water? Just as water leaves the high mountains and descends to the lowest valleys, so too does the Torah. It will only be found with someone who is humble and unassuming. And I am addict. The Kabbalah teaches that the stronger the ego, the desire to receive for oneself alone, the more difficult to remember the Torah that we have learned. The more humble the person, the Torah learned by that person is available to be retrieved through the person's memory. Water can also refer to the dew, if the Hebrew word is tal, tet lamet. The dew of resurrection, in which case the soul's hovering over the bones would refer to its waiting impatiently for the 39, the numerical value of tal, meaning the dew, would refer to its waiting impatiently for the 39 lights that will eventually shine into the bones. This is seen in the verse regarding the dew, with which the Holy One will resurrect the dead in the future. Your dead will live again. My people's corpse shall arise. Awake and sing, O you who dwell in the dust. For your dew is a dew of lights, and the earth shall cast forth the dead who rested in it. This is an unwritten commentary. But understanding the 39 lights, obviously the word do, which we know is connected to the Mashiach, which would have to be anointed because Mashiach means or translates as the anointed one. So the oil is going to have to be poured over his brow or her brow. And so the 39 lights represent the 39 aspects of work that was done in the temple. And so we are prescribed from doing those 39 actions of work, creative work, on Shabbat as a form of remembering the destruction of the temple. But in this particular essay, the 39 aspects of works, which are do not do, they're negative mitzvot, by not doing them on Shabbat, we present these 39 lights that will shine into the body, into the resurrection. And this is where the energy will come from for the resurrection. At least that's my opinion. And I vaguely remember being told that in one of my lectures that I attended in the early days of my study of Kabbalah. Continuing to read. God will use the loose bone to receive. Yes.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Chama.
Would you add that to your to the essay?
Would I add what?
You add what you just said to your essay. An unread commentary.
Well, you know how to do that. If you just type it up.
Yeah, but I listen to the recording and I'm three classes behind. So I need to be doing the Hebrew law. So
I'm not joking, but I'm joking. I know you're very busy. That's not the issue. I will try and do that. I have plans to have all of the recordings transcribed. But that's obviously a function of money and time. The system they have for the recordings will automatically transcribe it. They just don't know how to deal with the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Okay.
Thank you, Hanok. I want it to.
Randy, what was that all about?
Oh, the commentary that you just made.
Yes.
When you type it out, I want it
because
to.
Because it's part of the third meal lesson.
I know.
Randy and I, you know, that's why we need it in here.
Okay. I'm continuing to read.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to mute again.
God will use the loose bone to rebuild the newly resurrected body. For all the while that the body is decomposing in darkness, it awaits the illumination that... excuse me. And it will receive... from that dew, from the tall, when that happens. God will use the loose bone to rebuild the newly resurrected body. This is the meaning of Sage's statement.
Has joined.
That the loose bone remains intact forever. Rabbi Shimon said, come and see what is written concerning the resurrection of the dead. Remember, please, that you fashion me like clay and that you will return me to the dust again. What is written immediately following this, you will pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese. You will clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. After a person's body decays in the ground and the time of the resurrection of the dead comes, the Holy One will take that bone that remains and process it like dough, and like cheese is curdled from milk. That bone will then be mixed with the remainder of the body has already decomposed and become dust. That bone will then also become liquid like milk. It will then be curdled and given a form like cheese is curdled out of milk. Skin and flesh and sinew and bone will then be stretched over it. This is the meaning of you will pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese. Again, this is an unwritten commentary, but the process of preparing a DNA test, usually now it's with saliva, but even if it's just other parts of the body, they first have to liquefy it, and then they have to spread it out on the slides so that it's thin enough that they can read the genome. And so this nomenclature of pouring out like milk and curdling like cheese is a way for the Ari to have described the process of the DNA. And I think you'll find that to be true if you ever talk to people who deal with DNA. Rabbi Shimon said, all bodies remain in the earth until all that remains of them is a spoonful of decayed material. This becomes mixed with the dust of the earth. Just like yeast is placed in dough, in the future, when the Holy One calls the earth to bring forth all the bodies, this dust will germinate in the earth, just like yeast germinates in dough. It will then grow and bring forth the body without blemish. Rabbi Chiya said, it is written, your dead will live again. The Holy One will thus not create new bodies for the dead in the future, but rather resurrect their original bodies. There is a single bone that remains of a person's body after it has decomposed to the ground. That bone does not rot or decompose. It remains intact forever. When the time comes to resurrect the dead, the Holy One will soften that bone like yeast in dough. It will then rise up and expand in four directions. From it, he will constitute the body and all its limbs. And afterwards, the Holy One will infuse it with life. Eleazar said to Rabbi Chiya, it is just so, and come and see. How will the Holy One soften that bone? With dew, as it is written, for your dew is a dew of life. Again, this is the way the sages reveal secrets is they conceal it in the language of the science of their generation. And so people say, and many times in the Talmud, the science of the time that the Talmud was written was incorrect. And so they say the sages didn't know. They did know. They just were presenting it and concealing the wisdom in the language that the generation understood. And if they lived in a different time, in a different generation, they would conceal the secret in a different set of scientific language. And we're seeing that here with the Ari. Now, what is the meaning of the dew of lights? And it's a connection back to what was said earlier about the 39 lights, being the 39 mitzvot that we don't do on Shabbat. Continuing, the highest level of the soul of the Tzaddik ascends to Atzilut. the neshama itself ascends to the supernal Garden of Eden in Bria. The ruach ascends to the earth Garden of Eden in Yetzirah. While all the different aspects of the nefesh, which itself is associated with Asiya, hover over the interred body as long as the flesh has not decomposed from the bones. After the decomposition of the flesh, even the nefesh ascends to the earthly Garden of Eden. However, the lowest aspect of the nefesh, called the vapor of the bones, Evlei de Garmi, does remain in the grave, as explained in the Zohar in Parashah Shlach. Regarding the different aspects of the nefesh, it is generally known that there are five levels of soul. The nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, the chaya, and the yechidah. And that each of these has five sub-levels of aspects. For instance, the highest aspect of nefesh is yechidah of nefesh. After this comes chaya of nefesh, neshama of nefesh, ruach of nefesh, and finally nefesh of nefesh. All of these aspects of the nefesh are called by the general name nefesh. It is the higher aspects that ascend above after the decomposition of the flesh. The lower aspects, namely the vapor of the bones, and the 288 sparks of holiness stay below. These aspects will remain with the residue of the bones until the resurrection of the dead. Now behold, this vapor of the bones itself has two aspects. The inner aspect remains within the residue of the bones, while the outer aspect hovers over the bones. The second aspect is alluded to in the verse. His soul mourns over him precisely. For long after death, this aspect of the nefesh continues to hover over the residue of the bones. Thus again, this again is why the Torah uses the word bohu in the verse. And the earth was formless and void, bohu. In addition to meaning void, it can be broken up into two words, bo, which means in it, and hu, he is, referring to the minuscule amount of moisture that that bone retains, just enough to keep it intact until it is used to create the new resurrected body. Only the Torah that a person learned in this world illuminates the path before him. Undoubtedly, the loose bone could not retain even such a minuscule amount of moisture if not for the soul hovering over it. This is clearly alluded to in the verse. When you walk in this world in the way of the Torah, she, the soul, will guide you. When you lie down in your grave, she will guard over you. And when you awaken for the resurrection, she will converse with you. That is in the merit of the Torah that a person learns. The soul hovers over the bones. This is even true even at the moment of death. This is because there is in this world a certain path that is extremely dark. When a person passes away, the soul embarks on this dark path. If he did not learn Torah, the soul doesn't know which path to follow. Only the Torah that a person learned in this world illuminates the path before him. This is the meaning of the following verse. For the mitzvah is a candle, and the Torah is light. This again is the meaning of when you walk, she will guide you. When you lie down, she will guard over you. That is in the merit of the Torah. The soul guards over the bones, keeping them from rotting. The protection spoken of here is specifically over the bones, The verse thus says, many evils may strike the righteous man, but God delivers him from every single one. He protects all his bones, not one of them. The loose is broken. The one special bone that does not decompose is the loose bone. In the merit of this, all the other bones will stand. For eventually, all of them will stand at the time of the resurrection of the dead. This is the meaning of the verse, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. This is the light with which the Holy One is going to resurrect the dead. Then the dark pallor that covered the face of the dead will be removed. And there was light. This refers to the light that will shine after the resurrection of the dead. For after the advent of the seventh millennium, there will be no more darkness. Rather, night will shine like the day. And it shall come to pass on that day that there shall be neither bright light nor thick darkness. Rather, a day will come, it is known to God, that is neither day nor night. At evening time there will be light. This is the meaning of, and it was evening and it was morning, Yom Echad, day one, which can be reread as in the future, night and day will both be considered day. This also alludes to the fact that the darkness of death will also come to an end. And this is the meaning of the verse, one who dies at age 100 will be considered a child. The general lifespan of humanity will be so long that a person who dies at age 100 will be considered a child. For Israel, however, there will be complete freedom from death. As the verse attests, death will be swallowed up forever, and Lord Hashem will wipe the tears off every face. He will remove the insult against his people from the entire world. Hashem, the Merciful One, has declared it. I am adding. This paragraph indicates there still will be death for people who have not achieved the level of consciousness called Israel. And for those people who have reached this level of consciousness, there will be freedom from death in all its forms. Body death, business death, relationships dying, and many other levels. This implies that there will be something that feels like a second-class citizenship. This will cause many problems that will still need to be resolved. And this will be the spiritual work during the 1,000 years of Shabbat. That's the end of the section. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
So then what happens to people who are cremated?
Well, most of the religious, the Orthodox community teaches that people who are cremated means that their body was not, that they did absolutely no spiritual work during that lifetime. And therefore, there is no need for the body to be resurrected, because it didn't merit, by making a correction, a tikkun, to be able to be resurrected. That's essentially what the Orthodox world teaches. The other forms of Judaism teach similar things, but not quite as strict. Maybe there was something that would be done, and that part of their body would not be cremated, would not burn in the cremation oven. I hate to be so graphic.
I understand.
I have a question.
But it's essentially not recommended that anybody be cremated. But one of the questions that people ask, you have people in the Israeli who are flying jets and they're shot out of the sky, which has happened in some of the wars, and the planes go down in flames. The body is burned, but it's not burned to the point of what a cremation does that destroys the bones of the bodies. So, the pilots who are cremated like that, who are burned in the crashes, they are considered to having been elevated to the level of righteousness because they died Kiddush Hashem, for the honor of Hashem, by protecting other Jews.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I have a question, Malka.
Go ahead, Malka.
Loose bone. In the previous study we did around 1 o'clock, it says that the brain has the bone marrow, which is has a source of blood that generates throughout the whole body. And so my thought pattern is that the loose bone, it being so small, very minute, we don't know exactly where it is, but we...
No, we know where it is.
And it could be at the base of the neck, or I'm not sure, I can't remember.
That's typically the way we answer it, but I'll expand on that when you're finished with your question.
So my question is, the loose bone, which is the soul, and the soul that hovers over the body is protecting that loose bone from dying. Because if it was not there, all the bones would be nothing but ash. So is the loose bone that minute source of blood that sustains the bones? And is the loose bone the memory sensor of the brain, so that it remembers the body, stays with the body, keeps its righteous mitzvot. So when the resurrection comes, that nefesh is part of that memory source.
Let me see if I can clarify the question. When the body dies and it decomposes, when the time of the resurrection comes, it's going to use the loose bone, which is essentially holding on to a DNA map of the body. And that loose bone is going to has within it recorded all of the mitzvot that has been done day by day in that person's lifetime. So all of the information is there for the body to be resurrected exactly as it went into the grave. So if somebody lost a limb, that body would be resurrected without that limb. If they had lost an eye, or they had vision problems and needed glasses, and the eyes would be resurrected with that same vision problem. So everything is recorded on the bones that do not decompose.
So
is that clear?
Is the soul nefesh, which is blood, that's the part of the blood, your soul is in the nefesh. So the soul rises above the body, and does it contain that small source of nefesh, blood, from the nefesh, the soul of the body? Does it contain that vital component
The marrow of the bone is very moist. The marrow of the bone is constantly producing white and red cells. So it's very moist. It's It's not liquid like blood, but it's very moist. And the nephesh hovering over it protects that moisture from evaporating. Now, the loose bone is located at the top of the neck, but it's not in the physical body. Because we are taught that the loose bone never participates in the feeding from a physical standpoint. When you eat something, you're eating both a physical item and a spiritual item. They are tied together all the time. So when you digest the physical item, the spiritual item is being let set free. And so the spiritual item is feeding the soul, feeding the nephesh level. So the loose bone is really more in the same idea as the point called Zion that represents that balance point between the physical and the spiritual, so that the flow of Shefa, of the goodness of Hashem, it comes down from the spiritual levels. It goes through that point called Zion and flows into the physical world in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, and then to the temple, and then to Israel, then to Jerusalem, then to Israel, and then to the rest of the world. So it's that same idea. The loose bone represents that point between the physical aspect of the soul, which is the nephesh in the blood, and the spiritual aspect of the nephesh.
Okay.
Yep. So it never feeds, it never gets fed physicality at all. It only is being fed by the spiritual world of the fourth meal of Shabbat.
So it's kind of like, in the spiritual world, it's kind of like the dot, kind of like a yud on a small component of the name of Hashem, basically.
That's a way to understand it.
Okay.
And in time, you'll expand upon that understanding. But for now, that's an acceptable way.
Okay.
Anybody else? Any other questions or comments?
No.
I'm going to say we've had enough for today. We won't be able to finish it within time. So, you all have a Shavua Tov, a good week.
Shavua Tov. Thank you.
And tomorrow we have the three classes. The basic classes is at 11 a.m. West Coast time, and then the Deep Zohar at 4:30, and at 7 o'clock we will have one of the essays from the Ari associated with the Parasha of Vayeshanan. Shavua Tov, Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.